Hello everybody, this is Curtis from Tremble, letting you know that we are brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the horror movie streaming service that brings you all the latest and greatest that horror has to offer. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can use TremblePod, that's TREMBLEPOD, when you sign up for an account. This will give you a free 30-day trial on us, so you can check it out for yourself. With that said, let's get on with this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Tremble, the horror movie podcast. I'm your host, Kurt. With me, as always, is Stephen Taylor. How are you two doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Had some catharsis, you know, burnt an X in a large structure. So I'm feeling free for the first time that I felt in, oh, wow, a long time. A long time just smelling his flesh burning with the bear suit. It's nice.
Yeah.
Burn the pain away.
That smile on your face is the most genuine smile I've seen you have in like quite a while.
Is it the tears or the big smile? Is it both? Is it the combination of them?
Yeah. That was a tease of our Midsommar episode. Hopefully you've listened to that already. If not, go listen to it, then come back and listen to this one. But this week we're talking about The Invitation, a movie that I think is pretty similar to Midsommar in a lot of ways. You've got like the cult kind of action, you've got sort of like the peeling of the layer, so to speak, and you've also got a character with a bit of a tragic background. But The Invitation, the official summary of the movie: while attending a dinner party at his former house, a man starts to believe that his ex-wife and her new husband have sinister plans for the guest. That's it.
This is Karen Kusama's greatest achievement. This movie is insanely good. And this a filmmaker that I think doesn't get celebrated a lot. Partially because, yeah, she made Aeon Flux, which was a huge expensive disaster. And then she made a movie that gets a really bad rap, Jennifer's Body, which I think is a very funny, dark comedy horror, featuring probably the best performance of Megan Fox's career. I know that's not a huge thing to say. And then, I mean, she went from this to making Destroyer, which is a phenomenal movie with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
So I really like Karen Kusama a lot. I think she's one of the better genre filmmakers out there.
We should definitely talk about Jennifer's Body at some point. I think that movie got a lot of flack because of Megan Fox, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so dumb because that's such a good movie. And even though Aeon Flux is not the best movie ever, I think because I watched it when I was a kid, I have such a big soft spot for it. So
It's a bold movie. Honestly, if you think about that movie, she did so many things in that movie that hadn't been seen before at that point. Like, she is borrowing a lot from The Matrix in parts here and there, but I mean, I think it was cut to shit. I think that's what the biggest problem was. It was cut up so badly that it almost didn't make sense by the end. And if you didn't have a earlier understanding of what this character was and what this world she inhabited was, you're going to be lost in this movie. It's not going to work for you at all. If you're just going to look for some kick-ass sci-fi action movie, you're not going to find it in that movie.
No. The thing I like about this movie, too, is that, like, you never really know if the protagonist is just crazy or if this is all, like, actually happening. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you've seen the movie, you kind of know, but, like, I can only imagine for somebody who's watching this for the first time, like, you're really wondering, like, is Will actually crazy or is this all legit? Like, it can go a few different ways, and I think that's what I always like about this movie, is it doesn't quite lean its hat one way or another too early on. It kind of lets it all simmer for a little bit.
Well, it's because Kusama never, even in that final shot, which is fucking glorious, she never tips her hat at all. There is never any reveal in this movie, and I think that's one of the movie's strengths, 100%.
Yeah. And of course, you can kind of start to draw your own conclusions and theories, but for the most part, the movie doesn't spell things out too much. It lets you sort of figure things out for yourself.
It's almost like you're kind of going through the same thing as the main character, though, because you're. It does seem really off-putting. All the people who are there from the cult are so off-putting. And yeah. So you're kind of going through the same emotions that, well, this guy seems kind of more normal than them. He's gone through trauma and he's dealing with it like a normal adult.
Yeah.
Whereas all these other people have just like forgotten about the things that have, like, it seems so abnormal, and the whole time you're questioning everything along with the main character.
Well, and Michael Houseman, who plays David, has such a bubbling charisma in this movie, which is so interesting because Will is kind of the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost like in what he exudes on his outside, he is very much a blank slate. So it's like, I mean, for that to be his ex-wife's new husband and new focus and everything is such a weird detraction of what this is, what she used to like, meaning that she is almost a completely different person now.
Yep. And I think that's what sets off a lot of Will's like suspicions too. Like things just seem so off with his ex-wife to the point where he's like, okay, no, something's wrong here. Like this isn't the way that things should be.
No.
And I think the most terrifying aspect of it is the reveal that this is on a global level. Like, I think that's the most terrifying thing. And I think that's the scariest thing about this movie is that final realization.
Yeah.
It's just so terrifying.
Well, it's also one of those things, like, you can kind of think, like, oh, you know, like, this evil cult is operating on this single party, but when you realize it's on a global level, you're like, oh shit, like this is pretty much not going to end well at all. So well, this was a listener submitted and I thought it paired really well with Midsommar. So that was, and also it's like, yeah, it's a good time to talk about this movie too. Nobody really talks about it that much, and I think it's one of those movies that once you watch it, you're like, why was I missing out on this entire time? So when was the first time you all watched this?
I watched it when it came to Netflix.
Okay.
So I never saw the initial release of it. I never saw it in theaters or anything. I just heard about it because I don't think it got a big push at all.
No, I don't think
it did. Because it's an XYZ film, which unfortunately in Canada, just they never give these movies big pushes.
No.
But I mean, the movie was only made for a mil. It did not make that return, but I think it's done very good business streaming for Netflix.
Yeah, I was going to say almost the exact same. I didn't see any promotional anything for this until I saw it on Netflix and went, oh, this looks like it might be interesting. And then that's how I ended up watching it at first, which I think was a couple years ago now. But yeah, I didn't see anything about this movie until I saw it promoted on Netflix.
Yeah. It's interesting because the XYZ, they tend to kind of put more emphasis on putting their movies on streaming platforms, which is interesting because if you want to go watch one of their movies, you don't have to go very far to watch it. Like, a lot of these movies are on Netflix or Shudder or Amazon Prime, so it's pretty easy to find a lot of them. So, cool. First time I watched this was probably like a few years back. I think I remember, it was just like on Netflix or something. I just decided to watch it. And I think the first couple times I watched it, I just gave up halfway through because I was getting kind of bored. And then there was like third time where I finally like watched it all the way through and actually was like, oh, I don't know why I got so impatient with this movie, but I was just like, oh, okay, worth the wait. So cool. Got a couple emails here. One's from Marianne. She says, I love how for most of the movie you don't know if the protagonist is just crazy or if it's real. The movie never really leans one way or another. Yes, exactly. I think we talked about this already, but
we did. Yeah, we did. But I mean, there is something revealing in the fact that of all those lanterns being lit.
Yeah.
Like there has to be some kind of reveal there, right?
Well, yeah. I think there's a little bit of a reveal when he pulls out the laptop, too, and sees the video from the cult leader guy essentially saying, I think at the end of that video, he says, I'll see you all soon, which is super ominous, especially when you realize that they all think that they're going to see each other in the afterlife. Like, that's the whole idea of this cult, is that life is pain and it sucks, and so let's just end it and be in the afterlife in happiness with each other, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there was kind of a reveal in that aspect a little bit earlier, but you're still up until that point, you still don't actually know what's going on. You're just following the lead character and assuming what he assumes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next email's from Terry. Terry says, I'm sorry, but if John Carroll Lynch was at a party I showed up at, I'd be leaving. Yeah. Probably. Seems like a nice enough guy, but yeah, I don't know. I think he gets some real creepy parts nowadays, so.
His whole presence was just ominous in this movie. Like, from the first scene that he comes in, you're like, wait a second, who is this guy?
Yeah. Between, like, Zodiac and this, it's like, I don't know if I would trust this guy. Like, I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, but no.
Well, but that said, if I saw Bill Skarsgård at a party, I would go up and talk to him. I would beeline to go talk to him. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, it's kind of a hard... it's just kind of a hard sell, really.
I'll give John Carroll Lynch the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure he's
a pretty nice guy. I would.
Well, I would. Up until he tells you that he got drunk and killed his wife, then I think you should turn around and leave. But
so he leans in. He's like, I was the Zodiac killer.
You're like,
this is just a Zodiac movie.
I know, buddy. Hug me closer.
It's okay. Just don't kill me.
That's why I'm being friends with you instead of being standoffish from you.
Yeah, good move. Good move. All right. Do you have a favorite line in this movie?
One line that I wrote down was when they, right after they watched that cult video of the woman dying, they're just talking about how, oh no, I've let all the pain go and things like that. And Edie starts to talk about how she still, or she feels pain or something. And then Will gets up and he's really emotional and he says something like, is it just that easy for you? And then he has to leave the room. But just the way that he delivers that line is like, oh, fuck yeah. She's just like, why is she still denying that she's still upset and in pain about this? Like, it. I really liked that line.
Mm-hmm. There's a John Carroll Lynch line where he says, forgiveness doesn't have to wait. I'm free to forgive myself and so are you. It's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Yeah, it was my favorite too. That one's great.
Yeah.
I mean, out of context, that does sound kind of nice though, but in the context of the movie, when you know that he's someone who's killed another person out of drunken anger, like, that just seems so unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Best performance in this movie?
Logan Marshall Green or Michael Houseman. Yeah. So good.
Tom Hardy Jr. I'm just kidding. Logan Marshall Green. I think if anything, like, nothing against Tom Hardy, but I think Logan Marshall Green is, like, getting slightly better projects nowadays than Tom Hardy
Upgrade.
Is.
Upgrade.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that movie. That's so good.
I love Upgrade. And actually, Logan's becoming a very interesting filmmaker. He made an Ethan Hawke movie called Adopt a Highway. It's only, like, an hour and 15 minutes long, but it's basically about a recently released ex-con that finds a baby in a dumpster.
Ooh, and, interesting.
Oh, it's so good. It's so heartfelt, and it's such a very small feeling movie, and I think that works to its advantage. But yeah, LMG, that guy rocks that movie.
Yeah. He's the MVP of this. Like, he really does sort of play up the whole grief of what happened with him and his wife before.
Well, it's informed his entire existence that he's living right now, including the new relationship that he has with Kira. Like, he is still so damaged by that. I mean, and I think added to that fact is his mercy killing of that coyote in the very beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just, it adds, like, an insane depth to his character immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and it adds an interesting line later on, too, when they're talking about it, and he mentions that he killed it, and then the ex-wife's new boyfriend goes, no, that's what you should have done. It's a mercy. Which is exactly what they've set this whole dinner party up as, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a mercy that they are going to die at the end of it so that they will be relieved of their pain.
Yeah.
I also really, really love the scene where he's smashing all the wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well shot, and I think you feel the tension of that scene, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, I'm watching, my heart rate goes up in that scene, because you're just like, whoa, Like, because I think it's the big, to that point, it's one of the biggest emotions he has in the movie, essentially.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, Logan Marshall Gordon, he's great in general. It's funny, though, because I was on Twitter, I was saying, like, oh, it'd be great if you played Moon Knight in the Disney Plus series, and then someone's like, he was already in the MCU, and I had to, like, go, well, actually, and check. It's like, oh, yeah, he actually was. Darn it.
And he got killed.
Oh, well, you know, maybe, you know, like, you can double dip in the MCU, right? You can do two roles, right?
Yeah, I was upset when they killed him, because I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Best kill in the movie.
When they beat John Carroll Lynch to death.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I also kind of liked the first shot when he shoots, I think the character's name is Miguel, when he's doing CPR. That came out of nowhere, and that was kind of interesting, too. And then the look on the guy's face afterwards, where he's, like, kind of hyperventilating a little bit because he's just shot someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Dumbest decision. Not leaving that party sooner, I guess. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily saved What's-Her-Face, though. I saw somewhere that it was in a deleted scene. It's kind of confirmed that she still died.
Yeah.
Because why would you leave witnesses to something like that? But I don't know. My question is, if you're trying to kill everyone, does it really matter if you've convinced them to join your cult beforehand? Like, why show all of that stuff about the cult and almost tip everyone off when you're gonna kill them in the end anyway, so you may as well just have a nice dinner party and have everyone be none the wiser, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Play it straight. So,
not that I'm trying to inform any cultists out there how to run their dinner parties, but
no.
you know. Everyone needs pointers.
Yeah, everyone could use some help when it comes to cult dinner parties.
Yeah.
Cool. I think it's time to give this one a score. What would you give this a score of?
I'm going to go with a 9 out of 10 on this one. I think this movie is hella effective. The only reason I take a star off is there's a broad inaccessibility to this movie just for the fact that, like I said earlier, it never tips its hat. It never gives you a full indication of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that would put a lot of people off. For me, I kind of love it for that kind of stuff. But yeah, 9 out of 10 for me.
Nice. I'd give it like an 8 out of 10. I thought it's pretty good. There are certainly some scenes that drag on a little bit too long. But I mean, for the most part, it's still pretty enjoyable, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Taylor?
Yeah, I think... Oh man, it's like I still can't make a decision between an 8 or a 9. I'm 8.5. I'll go 8.5.
Nice.
I'll be one of those people that just can't decide. I kind of agree that there were definitely some scenes that I was like, oh, I wanted to get to the good part. Like I want to know what happens. Mm-hmm. But everything else is done like, it's such a tense movie for me. And like, it's always that feeling of you don't know whether you should trust your gut, you know, and things are setting off alarms and red flags all over the place. And it doesn't seem like it's happening for anybody else. And like, should you trust your gut or should you just give in and pretend nothing's wrong?
The funny thing is, it's 100 minutes, so it's not a long movie at all. But I think sometimes there's parts of it that are like, let's get to the cult stuff. So cool. Well, Steve, where can people find more of your stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at TheSteveLDead. You can probably also find me under that handle on Letterboxd as well, which I generally try to keep very updated. Otherwise, my website, stevestebbing.ca, and I'm on CKNW Thursdays at 2:45 with Linda Steele. And then across the country in the Chorus Network at 11 p.m. Pacific on The Shift with Drex on Thursdays.
Nice. How are you, Taylor?
Pretty much just this podcast and social media, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, probably some other random websites. My handle is Hercianic.
MySpace.com, you know.
Not anymore.
There's like a few years back, I just Googled my name just to see what came up, and like some MySpace profile came up, and I was like, oh man, let's see what
came I mean, we didn't really have a MySpace here though. We had Nexopia. I don't know either of you guys used Nexopia at all. That was like in my high school, that was what you used instead of MySpace.
Oh, I totally remember
that. It was like kind of trashier than MySpace too. It was not a good website that a teenager should be on.
No. That was like, looking back on it, like that was a cesspool. But
yeah,
it's a glorious cesspool. Yeah. That was back when, before you would ask a girl what her Facebook was, you'd be like, what's your next OP profile?
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. And I'm over at threeingernerds.com. I've got a movie commentary up for Clueless. So that was plug for that.
Oh boy.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I had seen Emma and Clueless relatively close to each other. So I was like, the whole time I was watching Emma, I was like, this is Clueless, basically.
I love Clueless.
Oh, it's so good. As if.
So good.
And then also Twitter, Film Critic Kurt. And then I'm on Letterboxd, Fatal Koala. Got a bunch of horror reviews up there, so I don't know, check it out. Good times. All right, let's see what the next episode is so we can tease it. We got The Babysitter and House of the Devil, so there you go. So
what a back-to-back that's gonna be.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna hear me gush about Bella Thorne a hell of a lot in that one. Hey, I'm a fan of Bella. I don't care. She's anything she shows up in, she's generally a lot of fun, especially in her adult career.
And
yeah. Oh man, is The Babysitter good? Oh boy.
It's really good. You also have a 2-week break before we talk about John Carroll Lynch again with Zodiac, but
yeah.
You know. That's just
well, could it, but I will say that I can't believe we're going to bring a McG movie to this podcast.
Yeah, that seems weird, but...
right? It seems so off-brand.
But you know what? Maybe one day we'll talk about a Jack Gad movie on here. That would be the bigger betrayal.
Oh, he's on Twitter. We should just form a campaign to get him.
Yeah. I'm sure he's doing nothing
else. He'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll do it. Like, I can't really talk a lot to him about, like, American Horror Story and Twisty or anything, which is a lot of the stuff that he's been celebrated for in the last 10 years or so. But I have other shit I could definitely talk about.
Let's see. Josh Gad horror movie. Let's see if he's in
it. Little Monsters.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's bring him on, talk about Little Monsters. And then it'll be like the time Norm MacDonald brought on Caitlyn Jenner onto his podcast, and he just used it to like rip her to shreds. It would be like that. We'll bring him on, but then we'll just be like, so Josh Gad.
Yeah. I'll get canceled by the internet after.
Stay away, Josh Gad. Don't take the bait.
What was with Pixels? Explain this to me.
Yeah. Anyway. What the fuck, man? So Pixels, Josh. What the fuck?
That's the real horror movie. So
yeah.
Let's talk about Pixels next week.
There you go. Some people actually would probably like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Cool. Well, until next time, everyone, except for Josh Gad. Bye for now.